Welcome back. Well, the swearing-in of the members of the 6th Parliament took place today, with much focus on Deputy President David Mabuza postponing his swearing-in, while Nomvula Mokonyane and Malusi Gigaba have opted to withdraw their names from the ANC MP list altogether. What is the significance of the latest configuration of Parliament as it stands? Political analyst Richard Calland joins us with his perspective now. Thanks so much, Richard, for your time this evening. So ahead of it all today, we had the ANC criticised for nominating ANC members who have been implicated in state capture allegations, but a day before being sworn in, a few of them falling on their swords, a result of some backroom discussions, you think?
Yes, it's probably the case that in the end, the pressure that the Integrity Committee process has brought to bear has had some impact. Some might say too little, too late. But the fact of the matter is a number of people, but particularly Deputy President Mabuza, have decided that it would be better to, in a sense, try and clear their names in front of the Integrity Committee, which is what he intends to do on Sunday or Monday when they meet, rather than be appointed as Deputy President with a cloud hanging over him. And sources that I spoke to close to the presidency said that that was his intention, that was his reason. Now, whether that is a tactical maneuver by him, and bear in mind, this is a politician who always plays the long game. It may be a tactical maneuver that enables him to, not elegantly, but deftly, step aside from his governmental responsibilities in order to allow him to rebuild his political base in the Thule House, in the ANC, and in the country. May, in fact, be the case. And only time will tell which it is.
Building your political case within the party, one thing. Another thing, building it, in the country as is another thing altogether. Do you see, that allegations being dismissed by an ANC Integrity Committee being enough to inspire confidence on a broad-based level?
Probably not. But, the truth is that whilst the ANC continues to win power and win it reasonably comfortably, then really what matters is not your base in the country or whether people trust you across party lines, but whether you have enough power within the ANC to get to the very top. And Mabuza, from a modest start in Mpumalanga 20 years ago, has built a huge following, a big support base within the ANC, certainly big enough, having gerrymandered the ANC's internal electoral process at Masrek, built himself up to the point of being Deputy President of the ANC and then, of course, Deputy President of the country. So whether he's Deputy President of the country in the cabinet that's appointed, whether it's next week or later, in a way doesn't matter. What matters is the fact he's Deputy President of the ANC, and he has to leverage that power to ensure that when the time comes, he's the person that then takes over from Cyril Ramaphosa.
In the meantime, Finance Minister Tito Mboweni being sworn in, even if it was only eventually, he showed up late for that swearing-in process. It left many speculating at a point today whether or not he'd changed his mind about returning to Parliament. Was that speculation warranted, or is his seat pretty secure right now?
I honestly don't know. And speculation about the cabinet is a fool's game. I've many times in the past made predictions about elections and the outcomes of elections and so on, including Masrek, successfully then. But I rarely can be drawn, Alicia, into predicting a cabinet. Why? Because there are so many factors at play. Usually it goes right down to the wire, and the president will hold his card or her card close to their chest. And Ramaphosa is doing that right now. And bear in mind as well that Ramaphosa has committed himself to reforming the configuration of the cabinet. In other words, streamlining it, stripping it down somewhat, and changing some of the positions. So it may well be the case that Mboweni will return to the cabinet, but he may not be finance minister. I would think that he might be in running for another position.
In pursuit then of that reform agenda, and where, you've put somewhat of a question mark on continuity within key portfolios, how significant is something like continuity? We've certainly had Mines Minister Gwede Mantashe standing in the spotlight today with the Minerals Council very fiercely, backing him remaining in that portfolio.
Well, I think that Natasha is a good example of continuity, and be it better the devil you know than the devil you don't. The Minerals Council, or whatever it was called before that, had a very difficult time with Minister Zwane, because Zwane was just not interested. He was there to serve his masters and his handlers and to plunder the state. So they couldn't really get his attention, whereas Montash genuinely is interested in the sector. They may not agree on everything, but Montash is fully engaged. If he comes to a meeting, he attends the whole meeting. He likes to talk, he likes to negotiate, and he's really genuinely interested in the sector. So I can well understand why the council and the sector in general, industry, would want Montash to stay, because they think that this is a man they can do business with.
Yeah. I know you say speculation a fool's game, but we've had Minister Rob Davies not in, Ibrahim Patel not being sworn in either. Do we extrapolate on that and call on the possible amalgamation of the trade and industry and economic development portfolios?
Look, I think there has been understandable speculation about the configuration of the economic policy sector. It's become more diffuse. There are basically five ministries now that are governing that sector, and it's too many, and it leads to incoherence in policy and implementation. So I would think that there is likely to be a rationalization of that cluster of ministries and departments, yes. On the two people you mentioned, Rob Davies and Patel, it's possible that one or both of them could come back into cabinet, even though they're not members of parliament, because the constitution permits the president to appoint two people who are not members of parliament. And I would think that of the two, Patel is the more likely, simply because of his relationship with Kasatu and the union movement. And Ramaphosa will want to keep them on side. He'll want them to feel that they have at least one voice, one interest, role player in cabinet, backing for them.
Well, Richard, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for your analysis this evening. That, of course, a political analyst, Richard Callan.